welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Facts Are Meaningless. My name is Eric.
My name is Joe, and Eric, you sound like freaking John Boehner there.
Shudder. That's the second time you've made a John Boehner reference, and I'm going to admit, I do not know who the hell you are talking about.
He is the House Minority Leader. He is famous for his voice, deep kind of like radio-esque voice, as well as the fact that he seems to spend every waking hour in a tanning salon.
Why have I never...
And he's an incredible douche.
Well, that kind of went without saying as soon as you said he was a part of the government. But why have I never heard of this guy? I guess, why...
Because you don't watch the news.
And by the news...
You entertain yourself.
By the news, of course, you mean I no longer watch regularly The Daily Show or The Colbert Report.
Well...
Sad.
Yeah, that's true. That is sad, but...
That's where I got... That's where I got most of my news, because he would get me, Jon Stewart would get me incensed enough to look something up later and actually learn. That's totally a lie. If I didn't learn it from The Daily Show or Colbert, I didn't give a shit enough to say anything, to ever look anything up.
So you are one of those people that they talk about that's supposed to be the younger people that get their news from Colbert and Stewart. You're supposed to know this stuff and then just like laugh about it on The Daily Show.
The implication there is that I am not young, and I feel I am young at heart.
Then that's my point. You must be if you're getting your current events news from Daily Show.
Well, okay. But the problem is that since I have no cable anymore, the only way to watch Colbert and Stewart that was not illegal, which I would never do, was to watch them on Hulu, which brings us to topic number one of this episode of Facts Are Meaningless, the fact that Hulu.com, within the next month or so, is no longer going to have The Colbert Report and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart available to me to watch as I sit in front of my computer and do my work on my dual monitor setup, where I could work on one screen and I could have those TV shows playing on another screen. This is
truly a problem, because I think can you watch the episodes on the website? I'm pretty sure you can, or do they chop them up into clips?
They might chop them up into clips, but that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because to be honest, sometimes the interviews part of the show is, no big deal to miss as far as I'm concerned. I want to watch the first two comedy segments and I'm good, So we're literally talking an 8-minute kind of investment of my time per day, per show. It's not really that big a deal. But yes, the shows will still be available on their own sites. There's thedailyshow.com and colbertnation.com. And that's the crux of the matter is Viacom, who owns CBS, could not get a deal with Hulu to get more money. And Viacom is one of the few people. I can say that because corporations are now people.
People.
they're one of the few companies that owns a television network that does not own part of Hulu. Everybody else, ABC, NBC, Fox, I think even the CW, Warner Brothers, whoever, I believe they all have a investment in Hulu in some way, whereas Viacom is the only one that does not. You will not find like a CSI show on Hulu because they don't get any money for it. So the fact that Comedy Central shows were on there and Viacom, was still in charge. Well, actually, I take that back. Viacom no longer owns CBS, but still CBS is not part of Hulu. So I should clarify that. But Viacom does own Comedy Central, and they're pulling the shows off of Hulu because they know that Hulu's making a buttload of money off of those shows.
Well, first of all, it's Mr. Viacom to you.
Yeah. Might it be Ms.? I'm not really sure.
Second of all, I thought Viacom was still they don't own CBS, or they're not like part of the same conglomerate. I could have sworn.
No, I think they got sold off. But the crux of it is that those.
Yeah, you're right. Sold off.
Yeah, those guys are not part of the Hulu happy family. Like even ABC came to it late because Disney had to buy into it. I think late last year, after Hulu had been around a while, but that meant shows like Lost would suddenly be on Hulu. I'm assuming they are there. Maybe they're delayed or something. But Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert apparently were like a huge moneymaker for Hulu. They were, or at least a huge draw, and therefore it leads to more money because there were more eyeballs looking at their little interstitial ads.
Well, you know what? I just realized I pulled up Viacom in front of me here, and Comedy Central is like the only channel of dozens that I give a rat's ass about that yeah. Viacom has.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe – I mean they've got a lot of channels here, so maybe they should do their own Vulu or something like that.
Well, you know, there was the thought a while ago that CBS would kind of do their own online thing, and whatever they did or didn't do, it petered out and died or never got off the ground. I never even looked into it. I mean there's no CBS online presence. You can go to CBS.com, and it's really hard to find even clips. Like I've tried to find – things for The Big Bang Theory, which is like probably the only show that's on actual CBS worth watching. You can barely find anything.
Well, all of this means that you need to get TV again.
No, I do not. I absolutely do not, even though I would never do anything illegal. Ever.
He means it, folks.
I do. I'm not a criminal. I might be a – I was having this discussion with my brother, the cop, and we were discussing like, you know, you can do certain things and get arrested and get a record and still not be a criminal because you didn't break any crimes. You just violated the law. You're a violator, not a criminal.
What do you mean? Misdemeanors versus
– Well, misdemeanors, and there's a thing below misdemeanors, which is a violation.
Ah.
So, like,
okay.
For example,
can we get that list? In case?
That's a good idea. I know. There's like the level of say possession, or like if you're say smoking a drug in public, that could be a misdemeanor. But if you're just holding it in your pocket, that could be a violation.
Oh, see, interesting.
Yeah. So what you always want to do is hold your drugs and not actually use them until you get home.
Right.
There. I have given the nation some knowledge today.
So you remember the other day I told you about how I got a package from Amazon, but it looked like it came from somebody on eBay because it was kind of like – manually taped and it had a handwritten label that you'd buy at Staples and stuff like that.
Yes, it was lovely.
Right. Well, I just got something else from Amazon and I was shocked to find out that inside the box was a receipt, but it was not my receipt.
Oops.
This has got somebody else's name and address. Gentleman by name of Baker who lives in Tennessee. I won't be more specific than that.
Do you have a social security number? Come on.
No, I don't. But what's troubling is that if I got this guy's, then somebody else clearly got mine.
Mm-hmm.
So not only – I mean I wonder what's going on. I don't know if these two products came from the same warehouse, but
so
something's clearly awry.
You got the correct product.
I got the correct product. I got the incorrect – receipt or packing slip. I guess it's a receipt because it's got prices on it. I know that he likes Keurig coffee pods.
Wait, it lists like other things he bought?
It lists what he bought.
Wait, so you got a receipt for something that you didn't – like the receipt isn't even for the same product.
Right. The receipt that came in my box with what I bought is for somebody else's shipment.
I see. Now, what did you buy out of curiosity?
I bought a really small Bluetooth adapter for my notebook.
Okay.
It's like a $15 – I mean it's literally – it protrudes out the USB port like, you know, minimally.
Like this one?
Oh, no. Much smaller than that. I'll show it to you.
I'm holding up a Kensington, which is about an inch long. But Joe is going to show me – is this the one that's like a half circle?
No, I saw that one, but it was poorly reviewed.
Oh. Who makes this one? Oh, that is tiny.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I can.
So it's basically just this clear...
Yeah, 90% of that thing is the actual plug going in.
Right.
If you didn't have that little bit sticking out, you wouldn't even be able to pull it out of the computer.
Right, and I assume you need at least that much just to get any kind of antenna. So, but it's good. I mean, it's least obtrusive. It's small. It was inexpensive. It was $15.
Who makes it?
What was the cut? I'd like to look it up on the receipt. hang on, I'll tell you.
I ask so much of you. I'm sorry.
It was not a company I'd ever heard of before. Here it is. Cirago, C-I-R-A-G-O.
Oh, yeah. My company, PC Mag, we just reviewed something from Cirago. They make a USB NAS device, a network attached storage thing that is basically a box with a bunch of USB ports, and you plug all of your external USB drives into it and thus make them into a NAS that is also internet accessible.
I just got something like that to review from iOmega.
Yeah, iOmega just came out with a new one, and there's a company, the best one on the market
Pogo Plug.
Pogo Plug, yeah.
Right.
Pogo Plug is pretty amazing. And I remember seeing them at CES like a year and a half ago and thinking, oh, that's kind of cool but gimmicky, and now they've really stepped up the game. Their software is pretty amazing. So
I reviewed the first Pogo Plug, but I haven't been able to get them to send me the second one, which has been out for a couple of months now. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. It's ugly as sin. It's got this weird like purple skate toboggan thing on the bottom of it for no good reason. But other than the ugliness, it's quite a nice little product.
Mm.
Definitely. And so that whole discussion, of course, has gone off the rails as far as, Amazon really needs to pay more attention to their packing, but maybe you just need to start shopping elsewhere more, and I don't know.
I believe that's more elsewhere.
More elsewhere-ing, and that might help. No, I really...
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, you... You definitely are. You might alone be keeping Amazon business. That is my guess.
I certainly hope not for their sake, because the dollar amount of what I spend is a lot less impressive than the frequency of shopping.
That's true. You probably are. You're like one of those people who pays off their credit card every month and never pays any of the interest. Amazon's probably getting a lot of work out of you, but they're not making a lot of money off of you.
That is correct, and it is a good segue into the other peeve of the week for me.
Please peeve.
This is my $50 rebate. Apparently, this is like the new thing.
Wait, you got a rebate as a Visa card? Is that a gift card?
It's a – let's just call it a prepaid card for lack of a better term. But
okay.
The vast majority – of the rebates I've gotten in the last 6 months, and that's probably about a half a dozen of them, have come in this form. So I'm assuming that this is like the new thing and that checks are no longer going to be very common. And it's irritating because clearly right here on the card, I don't know if you could see, it has the word debit
on it. Okay? Wait. Let me write down that number. Hold it. Yeah. Hold it back up there.
So clearly on the card it says debit, yet – it says when you use the card, select credit.
Huh.
And apparently it's because the transaction system requires this. And I know this has to do with that effed up, like that system. I just read an article about it where, depending on whether you sign or PIN, the bank makes like three times as much. So aside from the fact of – aside from the ambiguity of how to use these stupid things,
mm-hmm.
I hate it because if you – I think they do this on purpose, aside from the fact that it expires in a year and it starts losing value in 6 months.
Sure.
What are the odds that you're going to use every penny on this card, on this $50 card? You know what I mean? It's like eventually there's going to be a couple of bucks left or maybe even a fraction of a dollar. And then it's like you have to basically use this combined with some other form of payment in order to buy something. So I think – most people probably chuck the card when it gets down to a small enough figure, which is exactly what they're counting on. Because
I would think you're right, but wouldn't that be more likely to happen? Well, no, I guess it does. I was going to say, wouldn't that happen more with even a paper gift certificate? But then those places, like if you hand them a paper gift certificate for, say, $50, you buy something for $48, they're going to give you $2 back.
Right.
Most of the time. So with that, I would think the key to it is to go to Amazon or something online where you know you're going to buy something for, say, $52 and use that for 50 of it and then put the other $2 on your own card, which is certainly easier to do if it's an Amazon gift certificate code, but it's not impossible with those. I have actually done it. It's just Amazon, for example, makes it extremely difficult to use debit card like that. So yeah, I could see the issue. I think the trick should be, you know what you should save that for is just to go out to dinner with your wife. And, you know, go someplace expensive where the waiters and waitresses are so used to getting multiple cards to pay for things that that's like no skin off their nose at all. You just say, this is $50, put the other $2 on my card, you know, call it good.
Yeah, because on principle, I refuse to spend anything less than the full value of this card. But it's just like I wish that they would just send me a goddamn check.
Yeah, but I would rather have that than a check because of the setup I have where I do not have a local bank. My bank, even though I live in New York State, is still the bank I had in Massachusetts when I lived there. I've never switched over. So if I get an actual check, I have to mail it to them and wait 3 days for it to clear. So I'd rather.
You don't even have a real bank. You don't have TV. You don't have a real bank. You're like this ethereal being that doesn't exist on our plane.
You take zinc every day, like a little pill.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. My mother told me today. My grandmother, I'm going to say she's 92 years old, I believe. She went in the hospital last night because my mom went to see her and she was acting like all kind of demented or something. Like she wasn't sure. Like I didn't get the full story, but she wasn't sure what was going on around her. So that's enough reason to call, you know, and have her go into the hospital and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, mom was telling me she'd seen something on the internet or on TV, actually a commercial on TV, like some kind of shyster lawyer thing going on where there's a possible class action suit, or maybe they're trying to put one together, or they're just, you know, trying to sue people, trying to get individuals to sue companies because the denture adhesives like PolyGrip have zinc in them. And apparently they must have more zinc in them now than when they were first formulated. So older people are using this stuff, and if they're using it to an excess, they're getting zinc poisoning. And the zinc poisoning could be part of what makes them extra confused. Now, considering my mom also told me my grandmother probably has not had new dentures made in probably 15 to 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And the human gum, when it doesn't have a lot of action going on, they gums, you know, like the bone inside the gums recede. That means she probably had to like triple or quadruple the amount of PolyGrip or Fixident or whatever the hell she uses to get her dentures to stay in her mouth. And my mom told me she'll sometimes reformulate the goopy stuff on them like 3 times a day every time she's going to eat so she can chew. So it's possible, I guess, and I'm only basing this in, you know, I don't want to get in trouble or get the zinc companies to hate me. But, you know, from what little I've read on the web, that could be causing zinc poisoning. And you know, certainly my grandmother would not be unique in this. There's got to be lots of people doing this. And it's just fascinating to me, you know, that this is not a bigger deal in some way if it really is true. I guess some of the websites I've looked at look very shyster-esque and make me think, you know, it's total ambulance chasers trying to put together some new way to make money. But the fact remains is that, you know, there is zinc in this stuff, and zinc poisoning is apparently a real thing. Anybody can get it if they, you know, go in excess of the zinc they should have in their body. I mean, you and I probably don't have a regular zinc intake outside of, like, you taking a pill for it. I don't know what the hell I eat that would have zinc.
Oh, it's probably in trace amounts in a whole kind of things. It's in water, for starters.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, It's probably in a bunch of other things too. But what I don't get is that if zinc, you know, like I said, I take a zinc supplement and I don't even take a particularly heavy dose of one. There are like two or three higher doses available than what I take. So if you can ingest it and like, you got like stuff like Zicam and zinc lozenges and all kinds of stuff. So how could it be if none of those things, I guess if it's in your mouth, you know, constantly and it's like leaching into you pretty much on a constant basis, that would be a different.
And probably the age factor is what is also huge. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you're a small child and you get lead exposure, like, you know, from paint chips or something, you're a lot more likely to get screwed up than an adult. An adult could probably crumble up paint chips and snort them up their nose and not get it as, you know, lead poisoning as bad as a small child eating a single paint flake off of a windowsill from pre-1978.
Right.
So, yeah, I think age is probably a factor in there. But anyway, you know, to all of our elderly listeners, please be careful with your denture adhesive. Please. Please.
You know, there's a Wikipedia article about zinc toxicity.
Is there?
Yeah, but it essentially has to do with swallowing coins.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's possible that my grandmother has also been eating quarters.
The worst thing I've ever gotten from zinc is like if I take it on an empty stomach, I get kind of a queasy feeling for about 20, 30 minutes. But
well, wait till you're 92.
Yeah.
And then your daughter, your future daughter, Erica, will come to visit you, and she will find out that Daddy's all screwed up in the head.
Time and to I'll take be like, him. Where are my teeth? And where are my pants?
You made me swallow funny. Thanks, bastard. Why would you say I don't care about the TiVo?
Because you don't – because you're – yeah, that's right.
You don't have to have cable to care about technology. You don't have to even have electricity to care about technology, though it certainly goddamn is. Yeah. All right, so what about the new TiVo has you so fascinated?
As a longtime TiVo owner and aficionado – and let's see. I've had TiVo since 2001.
And we should state for the uninitiated that TiVo is not a disease that Joe has had since 2001.
It's a zinc toxicity.
It's actually a digital video recorder.
It is the original digital video
recorder. It set the bar. Well, I don't know. Wasn't Replay like the first one?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Stand corrected.
TiVo just happened to be the best one, or was the VHS to Replay's Sony Betamax or something.
Right.
There's another reference that will be lost on just about everybody except us.
Betamax?
What? Wait. Do you mean Star Wars is better than Battlestar Galactica? What? All right. Anyway, so there's a new TiVo out, and it's got what? I mean, it's going to have a bigger hard drive, and I don't know what else. What else is new about it?
Well, here's what's new. The interface is pretty much been redesigned, and it's finally taking advantage of HD. Okay. So like the interface currently is a very coarse kind of low res thing that they've just, you know, been using really since the original TiVos.
So the interface before, I mean, it would show a TV show, record a TV show in HD. You're just saying the beep boop interface where you go through the menus was not
right.
HD.
Right, it was a low, you know, it was like a low res interface, so the text was kind of blocky, and you couldn't fit a lot of information on the screen. But I have decidedly mixed feelings about it because, you know, it's been kind of I won't say panned, but they had this big event on Tuesday, and there hasn't really been a lot of enthusiasm for the new box. But I'm pissed because this new interface is limited to the new hardware. So anybody that's got a series, and the reason why is because it's written in Flash.
Oh, and really? That's interesting.
Yeah, and as you know, you need to have, you know, Boku processing power in order to do Flash. But I was kind of surprised that they used it because, especially the last couple of months, Flash has kind of you know, been a four-letter word. It's buggy. It's slow. It requires a lot of resources. It's got security issues.
Yeah, and that's all because Steve Jobs hates it and didn't want to put it on the iPhone or now on the new iPad coming out. And so there's
those are true criticisms. You know what I mean? It's like it's even on a PC, it sucks your CPU, you know, up to quite high and stuff. So. And you know, the one thing that the TiVos have been all this time is slow as shit. You know, they take forever to boot. They take forever to update screens. So I get why the new hardware is required to run the interface, but I just wish that, you know, it's like, it's another example of where they, you know, leave people that, you know, were the earliest adopters, kind of kick them to the curb.
Well, you had the same complaint earlier today, maybe yesterday, talking about all the phones out right now with Windows 6.5 are not going to be upgradable to the new Windows Phone 7 that is going to come out. You know, so meaning anybody who has that and wants the most current operating system has to get a new phone, period.
Yeah, but that I can understand, too. Because, well, first of all, I don't own one of those.
Well, that's
so I don't care about that.
screw those people. They're screwy.
But the reason for that is because Windows in doing Windows 7, Microsoft has stipulated minimum hardware requirements.
Yes.
and a common set of buttons. So in order to keep that pristine, they can't go back and even the HD2, which is a kick-ass phone and actually meets the hardware requirements, but because it doesn't have the correct array of buttons in the front, is not going to be Windows 7.
That seems fishy to me because it's when Microsoft makes it software. They should be able to handle all sorts of hardware. You know, that's a very Apple-esque thing to do. I mean, well, maybe
I think that's the point.
Yeah, well, maybe that is. You're right. I mean, it's good to set some standards, I suppose, but you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like that should wholly be up to Microsoft based on how they've done things in the past. But, you know, if it's okay with them, then why isn't it okay for TiVo to do the same thing?
Because
you own one and you don't want to buy a new one.
Well, it's a paradox because really the interface is really the main new thing. There's not a whole lot of new stuff in terms of the features list. It doesn't do streaming between boxes. It doesn't, you know, have any inherent capability that the existing box doesn't have. Yet I feel compelled to upgrade because I, you know, really want to take advantage of that interface. Plus, they're kind of sweetening the deal because whereas in the past, if you had lifetime service on one, which I do, you could transfer that to a new TiVo. Now they're letting you do that, but you get to keep lifetime on the old box.
Well,
so
that's kind of good, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's good, but still, it represents a major outlay because you got to pay $300 for the box and then $200 to transfer the lifetime service. So you know, you still have to shell out a lot of money, but
you know, there strikes me what's the thing I'm thinking of. That would solve that problem. Oh, that's right. Don't have cable.
Did you watch Lost on Tuesday night?
But don't do anything illegal. No, I watched Lost last night. I was.
I rest my case.
I was 24 hours behind. All right.
I rest my case.
But you know don't bring that into it.
And did you watch it in glorious 720p or was it 1080i? I'm not sure.
You know the files that I get not illegally. I'm not really sure. I think they're like 720. Yeah, they're not. They don't look great over my network. You know, they look better when you like actually plug them on. You know, put them on a USB key and plug them into the Xbox. But
well, then they must be pretty good quality if they don't stream well. But I'm guessing you probably go for like the quickest torrent rather than the high. You know, the biggest.
Yes, this is true. Well, the biggest ones are all those MVK or MKV files, which won't play back on my Xbox. I'd have to translate them to an AVI anyway, which is an extra step I'm not willing to take at the moment.
They play on TiVo.
God, don't. Ah.
Take that.
Ah. Curses foiled again by your masterful TiVo.
See?
With the... Okay, so in the tried and true tradition of Car Talk, you ever watch Car or listen to Car Talk on NPR, Joseph? You like?
I haven't in a while, but I did in the past. Click and clack, yeah. The Tappet Brothers.
Click and clack. So as they would say, you've wasted another perfectly good. Well, they would have said an hour, but I'm going to say about 40 minutes listening to our show, which is not Car Talk, not even remotely close to as useful as Car Talk. We call it Facts Are Meaningless. But we appreciate everybody listening, and especially the negative, nasty comments that especially my uncle likes to leave. Thank you for that, David. Keep them up.
You affirm us.
Yes. Without your acerbic hatred, I don't know what we would do. We could not go on. Well, actually, we could, and we probably would, because we really don't care about anything. We just keep going. So thanks for listening. Leave some comments. Send us some emails. Give us a phone call if you can find our number, which actually probably
– Phone call?
It wouldn't be that hard, because I bet that's easy to find on the Googles as well.
Maybe.
Call Joe. Don't call me.
Phone call?
I don't answer the phone. Send me a text message.
But you're an ethereal being. Do you have a phone even?
I have a
– Or do you communicate via brain-based text messaging?
That's pretty much what my cool, kick-ass Apple iPhone does, brain-based text messaging. That's correct.
Okay.
So we'll be back next week with another fine bunch of blah, 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 blah about whatever the fuck we think is interesting.
Ooh, you just dropped the F-bomb.
F-bomb. Yeah. You know, last week I counted them up, and I think I did about 7 or 8 of them. So I think
this podcast was safe for work until you just said that.
I think it might have been. You know, maybe if I listen to it carefully enough, I'll bleep them as if I'm going to listen to that.
Do we have bleeping technology?
Dude, I have the technology to bleep. I need to find a sound that was bleep worthy. All right, man. It's been fun. I will talk to you later. Bye, okay. Everybody.
See ya.
It hurts! It hurts my little nads!